Hi, welcome to Internet of Things Telemetry. This is third session on the telemetry, and in this session we are going to focus on IoT Suite. I'm Punit Ganshani, Microsoft MVP and a solution architect by profession. In the first two sessions, we understood about Internet of Things. We explored event processing pipeline and telemetry. And in this session, we're going to compare the event processing pipeline pre-Azure IoT Suite and what changes happens when we go to Azure IoT Suite and hub offerings. When we compare the event pipeline that we saw earlier with Azure Event Hubs versus the Azure IoT Hub event pipeline, IoT Hub seems to be a replacement of Event Hub. So the question arises, what's the difference? Do we really need Azure IoT Hub? Well, IoT Hub provides an excellent event ingestion mechanism, which is even better than Event Hubs. With Event Hubs, we can approximately have 5,000 clients streaming data or events using AMQP protocol. But with IoT Hub, we can have almost a million producers. So we can have multiple IoT devices stream data to IoT Hub with their own identity, which, by the way, is not the SAS token that we talked about. And unlike Event Hubs, where we have a predefined retention period, IoT Hub allows us to define the time to live at a much granular at message level. So we do not have a retention period defined at the hub level, but we have a time to live defined at each message level. Now, in the previous demo that we saw as a part of the Azure Event Hubs, we had a topic to receive updates from cloud because Event Hubs do not support sending messages back to the consumers. IoT Hub bridges that gap. It provides both device to cloud telemetry and cloud to device messaging. And this abstracts the creation of separate topics or queues to send messages from cloud to device. So in a way, IoT Hub creates a dedicated queue per device to send messages from cloud to device. With Event Hubs, to provision a device, we had to create a SAS token, and the token would essentially tell us which device is streaming events to the cloud. Now, this approach is not really scalable when we have thousands of devices. IoT Hub allows us to provision a device in much simpler way. We can now have device identity, which the IoT Hub recognizes, and IoT Hub will only communicate with registered devices that present the authorized credential. If administrators want to disable a device, they can do it through the management portal, or they can use REST APIs as well. Manufacturers can model their own bootstrap process of device provisioning so that they can authorize a set of pre-configured devices to connect to IoT Hub. One of the important aspects of a good IoT solution requires a device to have 100% availability. But that's a difficult target to achieve considering the IoT devices may be deployed, maybe in some remote locations or anything like that. IoT Hub provides a power pack functionality, which allows us to get the device information remotely using stream processing engine rather than the polling strategy. So in a way, it kind of enables us to have a very good ingestion for a million producers. It provides us functionalities like device provisioning, either at the bootstrapping process or through REST APIs. It also allows us to do fault monitoring and thereby detect which devices have gone bad and they can be replaced with new devices as well. So in this way, Azure IoT Hub replaces Event Hub to do a lot more when it comes to deploying a million IoT devices. Now we'll see more of the functionalities of Azure IoT Hub. So as a functionality, we understood that it provides four key functionalities, that is device registration and provisioning, device to cloud telemetry using the IoT Hub, cloud to device notifications using dedicated queues per device, fault monitoring for any device deployed on the field. In the term of communication, it provides scalable communications, reliable and durable messaging. It also provides delivery receipts, so you know that the message has been published. You can use AMQP or HTTPS protocol, and it's a very secure channel, so we don't have to worry about intercepting of the events by any third party or an attacker. It's a multi-platform, so you can use .NET, Node.js, C, programming language, C++, anything. And you can host your application on Android, iOS, Windows, or Linux-based systems. So any device that supports any of these operating systems, you can run it on that. And last, it has a very good integration with Azure Stream Analytics, HD Insight, Apache Storm, SQL Database, and Azure Table Storage. So in the terms of storage, the integration is quite seamless and very fast. So with these functionalities, what we'll see is next is a demo to use an IoT hub for the similar kind of an example. So we'll have the same producer, consumer, and the provisioning applications in the solution to do the same set of actions that we did with Azure Event Hubs, and we'll understand how to do it with the IoT hub. This solution has four projects: a consumer project, a producer project, a provision project, and a registry project. So the first step is to provision a device. So we'll try to provision the device. So what we do is we say provision slash name is equals to alpha, and it gives us a device key. So this is the device key that is not the SAS token. So we'll just mark it and store it in a notepad so that we don't forget it. We have a producer and we have a consumer. So let's start the consumer first. It is ready to receive messages. In the producer, we need to give two things. So name is equals to alpha, and token is the same token that we just got, which is the device key. So I press enter to generate random temperature data. So the producer is generating data and the consumer is able to consume it. So now let's look into the code as to how this works. So when we go to the provision project, essentially what we're doing is we're just taking the device name. We're not taking any other information, and we are calling the registry manager over here. So we're giving the connection string of the IoT hub owner. The IoT hub owner is the shared access key, which has the access to provision a new device, connect as a client, connect as a service, everything. So if you go to the Azure Management Portal and we go to our IoT hub, there are different shared access policies. So IoT hub owner has registry write, service connect, and device connect. So registry write gives us the additional rights to provision a device. Service connect gives us the right to connect as a consumer for the messages sent from the devices. Device connect gives us the rights to send data from the devices to cloud. So similarly, if we are connecting from service, which will be the consumer, we should use the connection string of the service. If you are sending the data from the device, that is we are producing the events, then we should use the connection string of device. If you just want to see the devices that have been provisioned, registry read is sufficient to provide us this information. And if we want a specific utility that allows us to provision devices, then we need registry read write permissions. So for now, I'm using IoT Hub Owner. We could use registry read write over here to register the devices. So let's go back to this example. So we have a connection string, which at the moment is hard-coded. We can create the registry manager using the connection string, and we give the device name. So we call the addDeviceDevice async method. And once the device has been added, we can just get the primary key, which is the device key. Now, if in case the device is already existing, it will throw an exception called device already exist exception. So we can just get the device information and then send the primary key back to the console. So in this way, we are ensuring that the device ID or the device name is unique, and the source of information or the source of events is from the same device that has been registered earlier using the device registry manager. So when we called the method to provision a device, when we said provision.exe name is equals to alpha, it created the device. So if I rerun the same command, note that the device key is the same, so it is unique key generated once per device. Now let's look at the provision the producer part. So producer, again like the previous example for event hub producers, takes two parameters. One is the name of the device and the device key or the token, as I'm referring in this example. So thing to note is that we are not passing any SAS token for the producer when we are creating a device client. So we're just going ahead and providing the name of our IoT hub, so which is iot-hub.azure-devices.net. So this is something that you can get from the portal. So this is the host name here. We have to use the host name. We don't need a SAS token for that. By default, the device client ensures that we are using the devices, or we are trying to connect from the devices which are already authorized. So here we are giving the device name and the token. So it will create the device client here, and then we're going into the loop and sending the data just like we did for the event hub. The difference here is that we are not sending event data, we're sending a message, which again can take the bytes or a stream. We can define user properties in the similar way as we did for event hubs. But unlike event hubs, we do not have a partition key. This is because every device ID gets a unique partition inside the IoT hub. So in the sequence of events that the data gets streamed from the producer, it's the same sequence that you get in the consumer. So the device ID is hashed to create a partition, to find out the partition and queue the messages in it. So when we send device client.send event async, we can send individual data, or we can also call another method called send event batch async. So we can send up to 500 messages in a batch with a maximum size of around 250 KB. So it's for light event processing. So when this method gets called, it keeps on sending some random messages as a producer. Now this same data can run on any device that supports C#. And the similar code can also be written in different languages like Node.js or C or C++, right? Now when we go to the consumer part, with event hubs, we required an intelligent event processor. Now we really do not require an event processor for the consumers because the consumer resides on cloud. So what we need is a connection string which has a shared access key of service. So it is only going to have a service client rather than a device client. And we create a event hub client from this. We iterate through all the partition IDs and we start receiving the events from all the partitions. So the conceptually we're doing the same. We're going ahead with the default consumer group of the event hub client, creating a receiver for the partition from a particular time. So we define the starting time, so whatever has started now. So if I start the producer but my consumer is not up, then it will miss the messages. So here we can define the time last we started access with, and then we can keep track of the time in some kind of a persistent store like database, and then we can recover from a particular time, provided the messages have a TTL which allows the messages to be on the IoT hub. So we can define the start time. There are a lot of overloads of this create receiver, so we can have this quite configurable. And then we start receiving the data. So if I shut down the consumer here, I just break the consumer, and the producer is on. It is sending the data. It has already sent 549 messages. And if I start the consumer now, it does start receiving the messages, but it would have lost some messages which came for the time when consumer was down, just because we have given the date time dot now. So that's the producer and the consumer. Now we can build a very good portal for presentation of all the devices that have been provisioned till now. So let's see how to find out the devices that have been provisioned. So that's the project registry. So getting the devices is quite easy. You just need to use the connection string for registry read. When you use the registry read connection string, we cannot alter anything into the device registry. We can just get the devices and the device information. So there are a lot of methods that the registry manager gives. It gets us all the statistics. It allows us to remove. It allows us to update. So all those things. But if you are having a registry read, operations like update and remove will give an error. So better to use the right shared access key name for the isolation of properties. So what I'm doing here is I'm running a method called get device async and get me the 100 devices that are provisioned. So if I run this here, oh, that's provision. So here is the registry one. So I have two devices. One is alpha device and second is Pi2. So Pi2 is something that I configured earlier. If you see, we have the device ID, which is the unique ID of the device. We have the connection state that it is disconnected. The state is enabled. And we get the last connection state update time. When was the last update? Status update time. And all those things are populated. So when is the last activity of the message? So and what is the primary key and the secondary key. You can use either of these keys. I prefer the primary key to be used. So this is the way where we can see all the devices, possibly build a good UI with MVC 6 to see all the devices that we have configured in IoT Hub. So that's it for the demo. We have the source code available on GitHub. So you can browse through the source code or you can fork and enhance it. The presentation is also available online, so feel free to download the presentation and go through it at your own pace. Thank you.